We pray. Heavenly Father, Lord of all glory, you who have reached down from your throne on high and claimed us as your own, so may your word work powerfully in our hearts and homes and lives. May the light of your grace be the light we walk by, that we might be warmed by your mercies anew each morning. Bless us, fill us to your grace and glory, now and forevermore, in Christ our Savior. Amen. Demon possession is horrifying. There are some mental illnesses out there that make a person believe that they are demon-possessed, but there is a big difference between psychologically being ill and actually having an evil spirit controlling our body. The woman in our gospel lesson today, her daughter was afflicted by a demon. Was her mother able to see pure evil in her eyes? Perhaps she heard a male's voice coming out of her mouth, screaming, shrieking, crying out and cursing, blaspheming God, and maybe even revealing private facts about the mother that the daughter never would have known. Perhaps this evil spirit had supernatural power to break chains and to float in the air, perhaps, or to throw things across the room. Perhaps this evil spirit twisted and contorted this young girl's body as it tortured her and threw her through the room. Perhaps there was a sickening foul odor or a deep freezing chill in the room to signal an evil spirit. The mother was probably hysterical with fear. I find it interesting, however, that this Canaanite woman didn't run to the leaders of the pagan shrines around her. No, she went to a Jew who was in town, who had driven out evil spirits from Israelites. Just before our text, Matthew records that Jesus was in a confrontation with the Pharisees. He called them hypocrites, the blind leading the blind. Matthew records that the Pharisees were offended at his words. And that's what leads up to our text when Matthew says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. He withdrew probably because he wanted this relationship between him and the Pharisees to kind of cool down. It wasn't yet the time for him to die at their hands. But Tyre and Sidon? They were cities in Canaan. What an odd place for Jesus to be. The Canaanites were fierce enemies of the Israelites. Ever since Joshua brought the Israelites in to the promised land, they were supposed to eliminate the Canaanites, but they failed to do that. Jesus was walking in a very dark place. In this land of Cana, there were all kinds of terrible religions: ceremonial sex, child sacrifice, Satan worship. Kind of like America. We live in a very dark place, where pleasure and power and money are our gods, and where children's sacrifice is just one of the perverse payments people make to worship their God these days. Matthew records a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." What a strange account. At first, Jesus remains silent. I wonder if he was waiting in silence to see whether the woman would finally give up or whether his disciples would care about this woman and her desperate need. At first glance, it sounds like the disciples just want to dismiss this woman with nothing. But Jesus' response to his disciples gives us the impression that they were actually asking Jesus to kind of heal a daughter and let's get rid of her. Let's get on with something else. Still not too much care. Jesus replied to the disciples that, he was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. He was not sent to reveal himself and to bring salvation through the Canaanites. And through that, Jesus was implying that it would not be proper for him to perform a miracle to a non-Israelite. What do you say about that, disciples? The disciples failed the test. They didn't care about this woman. They didn't care about God's grace reaching out into her heart and soul and sharing heaven with her. All they could see was how strange she was. What a Canaanite. Perhaps she looked like a gypsy or something foreign, but definitely not one of them. They did not have ears to hear what she had just said. "Lord, Son of David." For her to call Jesus Lord and to declare he's the Son of David was remarkable for a Canaanite. These were the very words the Jews would use as an expression for the Messiah, the chosen one of God. How did she come to know so much about Jesus? We don't know. We don't know who she's talked to or where she was, but she identified Jesus. What a most unlikely place to, with a foreigner, to find someone crying out to the Lord in praise and for a miracle. Jesus works great faith in dark places. Somewhere, the good news had reached up into the land of Cana and into her home, her ears, her heart. How ironic it was. Because Jesus had just called the Pharisees hypocrites. With all their advanced learning of Scripture, they did not recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And now a citizen from Paganville searches out for Jesus for a miracle as the Son of David, the Messiah. How ironic it was that all within one home, a demon came to attack her daughter while the mother has the Holy Spirit in her heart. The good news of Jesus as our one and only Savior has come into our godless, dark world, into our homes, our hearts, our lives. Jesus has worked faith in our formerly dark places, and he has brought us from the domain of demons into the light of his glorious world, his grace. Matthew says, the woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." How remarkable. She comes on bended knees of worship and cries out, "Have mercy on me." Jesus seems to put her to the test, just as he did his disciples. It seems as though Jesus isn't willing to help her, doesn't care about her, that it would be unfair to take from the chosen people of Israel their food belonging to them and toss it to the Canaanite dog. But notice, in the middle of this seeming rejection, this woman's faith understands the heart and mind of God. She perseveres. She acknowledges that she isn't worthy of any of Jesus' blessings. No, she accepts the description of being a dog. But she also trusts that the God of the Israelites is so gracious and good that he is going to set such an overwhelming banquet out on the table for his people that there is going to be biscuits of blessings and gravy of forgiveness and marmalade of mercy spilling off and dripping over the table onto the floor so that even the most sinful dogs will delight in the Messiah's banquet of salvation. Perhaps this Canaanite woman read the words of Isaiah the prophet, "It is too small of a thing for you to be my servant and restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." From eternity, God had planned for salvation to come through Israel, but to spill over the borders of Jerusalem into all nations. Jesus' blood pays for all sins of every man, woman, and child, past, present, and future. His grace reaches into the farthest lands, even America, to claim us as his very own. Has God tested us? Have we had tragedies in our lives, sickness, death, poverty, pure evil inflicted on us? Just as a moment when God doesn't seem to be very loving? Have we cried out to him in the dark only to hear silence in response? Or maybe like a truck in the face, our total unworthiness has plowed us over. Who are we? Who do we think we are that God should ever answer our prayers, listen to our requests? It is hard to admit, but admit it we must, that by nature we are spiritual dogs, unworthy of any blessing. Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. This foreign woman who lived in the dark world of Cana is now praised by the Lord of glory. Jesus works great faith in dark places. Her great faith consisted in this. She had no confidence in her own righteousness. She simply just trusted in the love and forgiveness of the God of Israel, the Son of David. That salvation was coming from Israel, and this salvation would be for all the people. She passed Jesus' test. Her eyes and her trust remained on Jesus, no matter how difficult it became. Do we relate with the disciples or with the Canaanite woman? The disciple seems so close to the Lord and yet so cold toward this Canaanite woman's soul. Or do we relate with the Canaanite woman? "Chief of sinners though I be, Jesus shed his blood for me." Let's not be so proud of being Lutherans that we cease being humble, thankful children of God. May our hearts always be melted in thanksgiving that God has come to our distant land, to our distant homes, and given us such great grace. He has cast out our demons and made us children of God. This woman went home, and there sat her daughter, healed, whole, happy. They embraced and had tears of joy. The mother probably told her daughter of the Messiah of Israel. Not only was the demon cast out, but the Holy Spirit entered in. Have you ever thought of how nice it will be when we meet this Canaanite woman in heaven? She saw the horror of a demon and the glorious face of her Savior. What we have in common with this woman from a different time and a different culture is that Jesus has worked great faith in each of us out of that dark place where we used to abide. He has let his light shine in us so that we have no confidence in ourselves but trust completely and unmovably on his blood, his sacrifice, his resurrection, the Son of David, our Lord. He has had mercy on each of us. We sing his praise, both now and forevermore. Amen. Please rise. We pray. Heavenly Father, how great and glorious it is to be the children of God. As we pass through this dark world, you are our only light of hope and peace, strength and forgiveness. Bless us and feed us richly with the banquet of your grace and goodness. Guide us ever onward, dear Lord, as we sing your praise, now and forevermore. Amen.